Ever since psychologist Raymond Moody first coined the term near-death experience in his book Life After Life back in 1975, there's been controversy over what an NDE actually means. At one end, they've been promoted as evidence of life after death, and at the other, they're dismissed as mere hallucinations or fabrications. Up until recently, there was only really anecdotal stories about NDEs, but now there's more research, and according to Lynn McTaggart, author of The Field, they tend to follow a very similar pattern.
The four main stages are usually an out-of-body experience where the patient suddenly finds he's looking down on himself from above. And then it's followed by an experience of traveling through a tunnel toward a strong light. The light then can metamorphose into a, you know, a heaven-type landscape. And the patient may experience meeting and communicating with dead relatives. And sometimes he communicates with a heavenly being like God, Jesus, Krishna, depending on his religious and cultural belief. NDEs usually contain at least one of these four elements, and sometimes a life review, et cetera. And then often the relatives or the heavenly being sends this person back, and he comes back to earthly consciousness. Many of the skeptics have basically argued that many of this phenomenon, the tunnel of light phenomenon, is the reaction of the brain's limbic system to a lack of oxygen. And that's exactly what people lack when they're near death. And so many of those things can have a plausible explanation, or the mind, a dying mind, trying to make sense of things. But they've never been able to put forward a decent explanation for these out-of-body experiences. Many of these cases where the patient sees something that wasn't in the room, that he absolutely could not have connected with, because his brain is like a computer that is unplugged at that point. His eyes couldn't have worked. So a team of Dutch doctors led by Dr. Pim van Lommel decided to monitor over 300 patients who had survived cardiac arrests, usually after electrical shocks to the heart. And they discovered that 18% of them reported an NDE-like experience. And of that, a quarter of them had OBEs, had out-of-body experiences. Many of them were too compelling to ignore.
What do you think this shows us then about near-death experiences?
It gives us a really good explanation of, or a good indication of consciousness being outside the brain. I mean, to give you an example of that, there was just this astonishing example of a near-death experience where during the night shift at this Dutch hospital, an ambulance brought in this 44-year-old man. He had been an accident victim, and he had been in a coma about 30 minutes. He'd been found in a meadow. He had dentures. So the nurse took away his upper dentures, and she put them on what's called a crash cart. And about a week later, the nurse met the patient, who was by then back on the cardiac ward, and he had woken up. And by the moment he saw him, he said, "Oh, that nurse knows where my dentures are." This guy was in a coma. This guy was dead, so to speak. And there was no way he could have seen that she had put these dentures on this crash cart and they were moved out of the room unless he was above the whole scene, peering down from above. So because it's impossible to explain those out-of-body experiences, people like Dr. van Lommel have really, really felt that consciousness is maybe based on fields of information, and that our brain is just a television set of sorts that receives the transmission. You know, our mind is not in the brain. So if we switch off the TV set, the reception disappears, but the transmission continues. And that's what we're picking up.
Now, do I have to wait for a near-death experience to have an out-of-body experience, or can I create one myself?
There's a lot of people who do successful work on and can train people in out-of-body experiences. Many people have spontaneous ones. I mean, when they've had polls of them, they've found something like 44% of the population has had an OBE. But there are many methods suggested by people like Robert Monroe, who is a very gifted out-of-body experience person and who has taught how to do this. And he's found that, you know, you get a moment when you're not tired, say after a cat nap, and then try to use some relaxation techniques, try to achieve a hypnagogic state of consciousness, which is sort of the boundary between waking and sleeping. And just to keep sort of staying in that, or to concentrate on an object, allowing other images to come to mind and passively watching them. And that will maintain the near-death state. Then deepen it. You clear your mind of all images and observe the blackness in front of you. And then you should be noticing patterns of light. Ignore these. And then when they stop, you should be no longer aware of your body, but experiencing almost being in a void when you're only conscious of your thoughts. Then focus your attention on a point about a foot in front of you. Gradually begin to move it further away from you. When the spot's about 6 feet away, move it 90 degrees upward. So it's above your head. And this should cause what's called vibrations. And then what you're doing is sort of slowly pulling yourself out of your body into a consciousness above you. There are certainly exercises like that that can help you get into the feeling. And the importance of it is not just the interestingness of the experience, but also in what it shows us about consciousness being outside the body.
Once I've done that, though, how on earth do I get back in my body?
Okay. Well, when you leave the body, all you need to do is think about getting higher and how nice it would be to float upwards. And the same thing, you just think about how it would be nice to return to your body. And if you are in a meditative state, you can also count backward to wake yourself up, almost like you wake up from hypnosis too.
So there's no danger in doing something like this then?
No, you're not going to stay there forever.
That's Lynn McTaggart, author of The Field.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.